This is Jenny Kavner from AT&T Sportsnet, your host for the Colorado Rockies. You're listening to the whole show on KFKA. Fire up the fountain.
After 11 o'clock, welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Getting ready to talk to our guy, Zach Stevens, our Broncos insider from DNVR Broncos. The Broncos are getting kind of going here a little bit anyway, and Zach's going to be talking to us about it. Zach, my friend, before we bust into that, though, we got to talk about Draymond Jones. We knew a little bit more would come out. I guess it wasn't really about Russell Wilson necessarily. But Draymond Jones kind of talking about how he felt undervalued by the Broncos, I suppose.
Yeah, and really no surprise, because after Draymond Jones did not get a contract extension and didn't sign one, after the Broncos had their bye week last week, Draymond Jones was very clear that he wasn't very happy with the situation. And he also admitted earlier this year that the Broncos did make him a contract offer, but clearly it was not one that he felt was close, or he even was offended by it. Because right after the trade deadline, or right after the bye week, which is typically when George Payton likes to give contracts to players, and Draymond didn't get one, Draymond came out and said, "I'm here right now. That's my status with the Denver Broncos," which is pretty clear that he was not happy with the Broncos then. And so from that point on, it really felt to me like the Broncos and Draymond Jones were going to go different directions, even if the money was close, which I'm not quite sure it was that close, but even if the money was that close, it just seemed like a fresh start was what was needed.
Yeah, and again, we're in this era now too, where you're going to hear a lot of players can get pretty vocal about their past team or whatever. Do you think, Zach? I was just thinking about this on the way into work this morning. Do you think the teams are going to be a little more skeptical as to guys that they sign when they look at stuff like this and go, "Yeah, if we sign him and he moves on, he's going to air out all of our dirty laundry"?
You know, like you said, Brady, that is just something that happens with players. And now it's funny, some players don't say anything. Some players take the very politically correct route and just say, you know, "I'm here right now. I thank them for that time." And then it's a non-story. Other players, like Draymond Jones, Draymond clearly wants to talk about this. He can't get the Broncos off his mind, because this is now, I believe, the second or third time this offseason that he's been talking about the Broncos. And again, he was asked the question, but it would have been very easy for him to just blow it off and move on, say, "I'm focused on Seattle and my time here. I'm excited to be here." But no, he insists on talking about the Broncos. And I know he did ideally stay with the Broncos, but clearly the sides were just too far apart. And obviously the Broncos had no issue just moving on from Draymond and picking up Zach Allen for a very similar contract.
Yeah, well, and I'm excited to see what Zach Allen can do. And, well, we're getting a little taste of Denver Bronco action, at least right now. They're in their off-season conditioning program. Zach, tell me what you're looking for in this kind of thing. I mean, it is obviously not the end-all, be-all, not the most important thing in the world, but what are some of the things that stand out that you're going to be keeping your eyes and ears on?
Yeah, I got to say, Brady, this is actually a very different off-season program than we've seen, especially with a brand-new head coach, Sean Payton. So there's three phases of the off-season workout program. The first one is 2 weeks long, where teams, all they can do is conditioning and workout. They can also have team meetings, but there's no football stuff that's actually allowed to go on the field. Phase two is when you can begin some football stuff on the field, but you're not going offense versus defense. And then phase three, what's known as OTAs, and everyone knows what those are, it's when there's actually football, offense versus defense. And these three phases span over the course of the next 2 months. But Sean Payton's taking a very different approach. Coaches typically like to just get over with phase one, just work out for 2 weeks, and then you move straight into the football stuff because, well, it's football after all. Sean Payton is not doing that. Sean Payton is saying, no, we're going to work out and condition for a long time. In fact, he canceled the voluntary mini camp that happens right before the draft that teams with new head coaches are given. He canceled that and said, "We're just going to run and work out during that time." And from my understanding, that's going to take place for about the next month. before the Broncos then get into football stuff. And that's very unusual because, again, it's football teams and head coaches typically like to get into the actual football part as soon as they can. But on top of it, it's even more unusual with a new head coach because typically you got to install a whole new offense, a whole new defense. You want to get on the field as quick as possible. And Sean Payton's saying the way these guys were last year, they need to be conditioned first. And I think a lot of that is due to injuries that the Broncos had last year. Sean Payton thinks that if they're more in shape and more prepared to play football, then they're not going to have as many injuries. So it really is a big difference. But so talking about the takeaways, I don't think we're really going to have any takeaways, unfortunately, for the next month of this. The Broncos, not only are they just going to be running and not doing football stuff, they're not letting any media talk to anyone or see anything that's going on for the next month, from my understanding.
Well, maybe the biggest takeaway is just that, is what you kind of alluded to as far as how he's running things this go around. That's a great point by you, looking at the injuries and maybe, you know, this is, we're going to condition more. Now, is this something that he did while he was the head coach with New Orleans, or is it all what you kind of were saying? This is more so about how things were last year. I got to change the culture. I got to, in a sense, toughen you guys up a little bit. Or is it a little bit of both?
You know, what's really funny is when you look at New Orleans and what he did or didn't do in New Orleans, for being such an experienced coach, for being such an old school type of coach, he hasn't really valued the off-season program that much. At the end of the off-season, at the end of OTAs, all of the phase one, phase two, and phase three are all voluntary, Brady, except for the very final week of OTAs where it's a mandatory minicamp, meaning your players have to be there or you can find them. In the past, Sean Payton has canceled that more often than not, and that's just not something you really see from old school coaches. Typically, old school coaches want to grind. They want to work their guys into as far in the summer as they can before that mandatory 6 weeks off before a training camp. And Sean Payton has canceled that, so he really hasn't had that much value, as much as you would expect from the type of coach he is in the off-season program. And so it's not the biggest surprise, then, that he's saying, we don't really need to do football right now. What we need to do is get you guys into shape. And I'll tell you what, Brady, he's made it very clear over the past few weeks doing multiple different interviews, just talking about how the Broncos this first month is going to be about rolling up their sleeves and working. He said it's going to be difficult. So he's really going to put these guys through it. And also, that's just going to be their first introduction to Sean Payton. So there's going to be no off days in training camp. The Broncos aren't going to be doing walkthroughs one out of every 3 days. This is going to be a very, very tough reality check for some of these guys.
Yeah, last year, Zach, I just remember, I think you and I had several of these conversations about Nathaniel Hackett. Okay, he's a player's coach, and he's going to kind of be the guy that's like, hey, you know, if we can win, we're not gonna have to kill ourselves out here on practice every day and in training camp. We're not going to have to do all that kind of stuff. He's fun. He's loving, that kind of guy. Well, it didn't work, and we kind of thought, well, the players are going to love this for a while. But that goes pretty south when you start seeing the results or lack thereof on the field. So I would imagine most of the players that were under Nathaniel Hackett last year are looking at this going, you know, it's going to be more work, but he's going to get us in a position to earn some respect again.
Yeah, it really reminds me of Bill Belichick. Players didn't really like playing under Bill Belichick, but you go to New England and you played with them, at least when Tom Brady was there, because you knew you were going to win. You were going to suffer, and it wasn't going to be fun, and you were going to be putting in long days, and you weren't going to be able to laugh as much as you would be able to in other facilities. But you went there because you knew, okay, this is going to be tough. It's going to be a pain. It's not going to be fun, but I'm going to win. And that really reminds me of the attitude that players are going to have to take with Sean Payton. This is not going to be fun. This is going to be way more difficult than last year. But if it means we're going to win, then I'm signing up for it. And it really is kind of funny how, not just with the Broncos, even though we've seen a lot with the Broncos, but typically NFL teams, when they move on from a coach, they get a coach that has the complete different philosophy of the way they approach the game. The Broncos did it last year. Vic Fangio, he was grinding his players for the maximum amount of time that they were possibly allowed to be on the field in training camp. Vic was a grinder. Then they went to the complete opposite. Well, Vic was maybe too hard on him. There needs to be the guy's got to like the environment that they're playing in and practicing in. So Nathaniel Hackett fits that mold perfectly. And now it's a complete complete opposite. We're back to Vic Fangio, where this is going to be the guys are going to be grinding day in and day out.
Zach, it's like a study of the country too. I the same thing with head coaches. I noticed in our presidency too.
You're so right.
You'll get like, you know, George Bush, who wasn't maybe the best smooth talker in the world, and then you get Barack Obama, and he's like the king of smooth talking, and then you go to Trump, and then you go to Biden. It's kind of like that with the NFL, where you go this way, okay, that doesn't work. We're going to go the complete opposite. It's crazy how that syncs up.
You're so right, Brady, and I guess it's just way more than football. Like you said, it's more of like just a human psychology.
Yeah.
And the Broncos have probably had too much bouncing back and forth, not just with this psychology and, you know, okay, this is going to be an easier, this is going to be tougher, easier, tougher. They probably had too much of that. But also when it comes to building the team, you know, George Payton was 2 years ago, was putting together a team for Vic Fangio. Then last year he had to put together a team for Nathaniel Hackett and fit. First he was trying to draft players and sign players that fit what Vic Fangio wanted, and then Pat Shurmur wanted on offense. Then last year he had to get guys that fit more of the zone scheme with what Nathaniel Hackett wants to do. Now he's got to flip it again. The instability is just going to be so tough, and that's why now you feel like you have stability for a couple of reasons. One, it seems like Sean Payton's going to be here for a long time because it really seems like he's going to succeed. But then two, you're paying him way too much to move on from him after year one. The owners aren't going to eat that type of money. He's going to be here and have some continuity that this team has really desperately lacked.
Zach Stevens joining us from DNVR Broncos. And Zach, we didn't talk about it much last week. I think the news came out after our conversation, but John Elway and the Broncos, of course, parting ways, moving on from each other. First off, let me ask this. What was that like? Was that more or less just both sides were kind of like, yeah, it is what it is. I put in my time. I enjoyed it, whatever. I did what I could. The Broncos were like, yeah, you know, we're moving in this different direction. Any bad blood or anything, or was it just a real, true, full-on mutual separation?
Yeah, it was just a complete mutual separation. No bad blood at all. You know, the tough part for John stepping away was 2 years ago when he and Joe Ellis came to the conclusion, kind of put that in air quotes. I think Joe kind of led him to this conclusion of, you're gonna step away from being the GM. In fact, we're going to make this easy for you. We're going to promote you, give you your money still, and take away your responsibilities. And that's when the Broncos hired George Payton. Then John stayed in the president of football operations mode for a year, but really had way fewer responsibilities. Then last year, he was just on as a consultant, so he's kind of been easing his way out of here. And no bad blood between the two sides. And really, John just kind of slowly faded off into the distance.
How will he be remembered? Obviously, we know how he's remembered as a player. The first, you know, four or five years as a Broncos GM, president, or whatever, he was very good. One with Tebow, then Peyton Manning comes in, and then obviously he was a train wreck after that. How will he be remembered, like, today or when we're talking about him, and then maybe fast forward 10, 20 years down the road?
Yeah, I think that's a huge distinction. How he's remembered today, people have a really bad taste in their mouth over these past 7 years, and it's hard to remember just how good 2011 to 2015 was and how many good decisions John Elway made. So that's why I think in 10 years, boy, John, people are going to more so forget about this and more so just focus on his accomplishments. And Brady, it's far more than just bringing in Peyton Manning. One of the things that I think really goes under the radar with what John Elway did, and I think he deserves a lot more credit for than he gets, is he hired the right coaches. And that's, you know, half his job right there. It's obviously getting the players in place, but it's also getting the right coaches. When he hired John Fox took over a team that had the number 2 overall pick, Kyle Orton and Tim Tebow at quarterback. And that first year, the Broncos went from the second worst team in the NFL to winning the division at 8-8 and winning a playoff game with Tim Tebow. He knocked the John Fox hire out of the park. And then even more impressive, the Broncos needed someone to take them over the top. John Elway made the tough decision of moving on from John Fox, who again was a really good coach, and hired Gary Kubiak. And Gary Kubiak, what he did in that 2015 season, Brady, was the most impressive coaching job that I've personally ever witnessed. And John Elway should get a lot of credit for that. He doesn't get a lot of credit for that. But then also, of course, all of the free agents that he was able to bring in. He built one of the, or he built the best offense in NFL history in 2013, and in 2 years was able to make it one of the best defenses in NFL history on his way to Super Bowl 50. So I think John Elway is going to be viewed in a very, very high light in the next couple of years and for the rest of time.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you, my man. Zach, what do you got cooking up for us the next couple of days that we can check out? Like you said, it might be kind of interesting with these off-season conditioning program because you know media is not going to really be around there.
Yeah, and not just us, Brady, because I'm going to be there anytime the Broncos allow it, but the Broncos are in the building right now, and we have seen zero tweets from the Broncos account about it, and it reminds me of what Sean Payton said during his opening press conference. He said, just so everyone knows, we're going to be working. We may not be showing it, but we're going to be working. So we're entering this time where it's very clear that Sean Payton is not only changing the culture with the players and the coaches, but he's changing the culture in the organization. Remember last year, Brady, the Broncos, when they hired Nathaniel Hackett, they had a full social media film team with them on the private jets in interviews. That's like the most coverage that you're ever going to get. Now it's the complete opposite. They're not even tweeting pictures out of players walking into the facility. This is a very, very different time. And so where we go now, starting to look at the draft. We're only 2 weeks away, Brady.
Right.
It's really crazy to think that.
It's been tough to get excited about it, though, Zach. Would you agree? Because when you don't have a first or second round, I mean, now, and you're doing this, you're digging deep. But for the casual fan, maybe not even the casual fans, this just doesn't hold as much excitement, does it?
No, 100%. You're absolutely right. I mean, Brady, in a normal draft, free agency lasts, you know, really the big signings are all done in a week. But you can kind of stretch it out for 2 weeks, being media, being fans, being involved in it. And then you're looking at the draft, you know, 5-6 weeks out, saying, okay, who's where, what players could fall to the Broncos with their first pick. Now, I mean, we're just really starting that with 2 weeks left into the draft, and the Broncos have their first and second round pick. Whether you like it or not, Russell Wilson and Sean Payton are the Broncos' first and second round picks this year. In fact, the Broncos technically had two first round picks. They had number 5 overall that they traded for Russell Wilson, and they had number 29 overall, which they got from the Bradley Chubb trade. Now they don't have either of those, and they also don't have their second round pick because of Russell Wilson.
2 years ago, we would have said, well, we'll sacrifice first-round picks for Sean Payton and Russell Wilson.
Yep, without a doubt.
Zach, my man, appreciate you as always. We'll look to catch up with you next week.
Right on. Thanks so much for having me on, Brady.
All right, man. Zach Stevens of DNVR Broncos. Okay, so I just tweeted this out, and we talked about it a little bit last week, but something to think about. Who has the it factor for the Broncos? Who has the it factor for the Nuggets? Who has the it factor for the Rockies? Who has the it factor for the Avalanche? I want to hear your thoughts on that. How many it factor players do we have in this state? 11:52 the time. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's a new ad in town. Hear the blue and gold spring football game on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.